Most churches have a place where you can write in your intentions, a little prayer book. Ours is in the back, and it's a nice way for us just to invite others to pray for real needs that we have, and we want to be an intercessory body of people. And I usually will stop by once a week or so and look and see what the intentions are so I can pray for them too. And it's people that were sick or somebody who's recently died. We pray for the election or all sorts of things. And once in a while, there's a prayer in there for me, which is nice. But last week, there was one that said, for a new pastor at Holy Name. So, Father Bob Thorne wrote that one. I'm kidding, of course. But one day when I was in the seminary way back a long time ago, we had a prayer board too. And this guy said, please pray for Chris Farley. He's in a really tough place right now. Many of you know who he is. He was a comedian. He was going through a lot of struggles. He had a lot of demons, and he fought some battles that he won, and he fought some that he lost. And the true story, I mean, there's always more to a person's life than meets the eye, right? So this guy grew up in Madison. He's a Catholic. He went to Edgewood High School, then he went to Marquette, and that's when he was on the rugby team. And he met this guy, Matt Foley, and that's a name that became very famous later in his life because he got on Saturday Night Live, and that's probably his most famous skit, right? It's living in a van down by the river, and the guy's name is Matt Foley. The real Matt Foley became a priest. He's a Jesuit. He's down in Chicago. He's done a lot of missionary work. And he was interviewed just a little while ago about how much the world misses a guy like Chris because, he just had these struggles with chemicals. But he said Chris would always, he'd go to Mass with, on a daily basis sometimes. He was really regular in his faith. For whatever his struggles were, he never lost confidence that God could help him. He said he asked me to come out and bless his new apartment when he moved into New York City, which the priest was happy to do. You know, when they found Chris, it was his brother that went to his apartment that morning. When he died, he had a rosary in his hand. And that's a beautiful thing, a consoling thing, that every person has more to their story than we can see. We only see the surface. God sees to the depths. So, like the story about these widows. Like the widow and her son. I mean, how did the rest of their life play out? Did that little boy grow up and tell people that there was this guy, Elijah, we didn't have anything to eat, and mom was not too happy about sharing it, but somehow it worked out for us. I mean, it became an amazing thing, and I really believe in God, that he became a great witness too. Well, the widow in the gospel, did she ever know later on that, hey, did you know that Jesus talked about you? He said, you're a model, you are a real example of generosity. There's always more to these stories, and if you watch something like The Chosen, it gets your mind, your imagination flowing that, wow, these were real people that had real problems, but somehow by God's grace, they had faith. And that faith ebbed and flowed like lots of things in human existence. If you take these widows from the Old Testament and the New, they're very different examples, right? You got the one who's kind of self-preservation. I'm not going to share what I have because we don't have enough for us. And then you got the widow in the gospel that just gives it all away. I mean, to the point that there's nothing there for her. And this is an old battle that we have to fight as human beings. Self-preservation is as old as Adam and Eve, right? Adam was supposed to protect his wife, and he was supposed to protect the garden. But in comes the serpent. And we think the serpent was a treacherous beast, some kind of a dragon. And for Adam to keep that out of the garden, well, it might have been risky. He said, I'm not going to lay my life down. I mean, it's not worth it. So in comes the dragon, the serpent, and down falls our human story. That this isn't something that has stopped, incidentally. We can still be really into self-preservation. We look out for what we need when we need it, and we just push other people aside. You know, during COVID was a time where you see how we handle fear, not very well. People were hoarding things, and they were like, oh my gosh, there's not enough. And like we wouldn't share, we wouldn't help each other, we wouldn't look out for each other. But when there's fear, self-preservation is a very common thing. And that's something that all of us, we look into our heart and say, Lord, I want to live not just for me, but for others. You know, self-donation, pouring out our life. I was at a football game recently, and this guy, John Bon Jovi, was there. He's a musician from my time. And people say, what's self-donation? Well, he had this song toward the end of his career, and it was, it's my life, it's now or never, I'm not going to live forever, it's my life. And self-donation is kind of the opposite of that. Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give it away, you'll receive it again and again. The more we cling to things, the more we worry that God's not going to take care of me. He's not enough for me. We take matters into our own hands. and usually we make a big mess. Pouring our life out for others. It's a beautiful thing, and I wrote down a couple of examples here about how we can do it. Let's see. This is a young couple that they just got married, and they have two little ones, and they want to stay. One of them is going to stay at home and raise the kids, and usually that's the mom, right? But in this case, the mom is a doctor, and the dad is an engineer, and so he said, I'll stay home, and she works. And of course, when you ask people, what do you do for a living? I'm a stay-at-home mother. Oh, so you don't work? Like, that's not work? I mean, like, that's not the most important work? Like, the most indispensable? A lot of us recognize the efforts, the sacrifices that our parents made. Laying down our life for others. Setting aside what we want and our dreams so that other people can accomplish some of theirs. Another one that shows us sticking our neck out for others, there was a young priest. He was teaching at a high school, and he was not any good at it. I'm not talking about myself. This is somebody else. And the kids were giving him a hard time. And so one day he had to step out for something, and there was a sister that was in the classroom next door, and she was respected by the kids. She'd been teaching for years, and she went into his room, unbeknownst to him. He didn't know this until years later, and she said, hey, he's young. He doesn't know what he's doing, but give him a chance. If you tear him down, you're going to hurt his self-esteem, and he'll just quit. He'll never amount to much. You can help him to become a good teacher. She stuck her neck out. She put her reputation on the line, and it made a difference for that guy. Eventually, they made him a bishop, so it backfired. But anyway, so to be able to lay our life down, to give our life away, that tomorrow's Veterans Day, right? So maybe we think about the men and women who did that for our country, people who are still serving, who are making sacrifices. They're a long way from their family, and sometimes they go away for a long time, and that's a real hardship. We are a better world, a better nation, for the sacrifices that they make. There's more to your story and mine than we'll ever know, but God sees it all. Today, there's a couple of lives that are going to begin here in the baptismal font. We got Liza Mae Gress, and this little girl's Madeline Rose Williams. I hope I got the names right, but we'll get it right for the baptism. And that's where our life begins. Because Christ, he laid down his life, and when we're baptized, we accept that. But we promise to imitate that. We promise to lay down our lives, to die to ourselves, to find ways to serve, to be like that widow in the gospel today. Anyway, my tribute is, I write these things down because I'm old and I can't remember, but this comes from Billy Ray Cyrus, and this is in honor of all of our vets. My voice is shot, but here it goes. All gave some, but some gave all. Some stood through for the red, white, and blue, but some had to fall. If you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Boom, 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 some gave all. God bless America.